Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by an up-and-coming Broadway star. She's performed in A Raisin in the Sun, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and now as Eponine in Les Mis. We welcome Maya Renee Hunter.
Hello.
Maya, let's go Beyond the Mic. As a character, Eponine is a rose filled with thorns. How do you see her, and how does that influence your performance of her?
Yes. So oftentimes I feel like Eponine is seen as a very rough person with a very rough exterior. And in my approach to the character, I really like to dig into her vulnerability, to the softness that she has. And we see that through her relationship with Marius and everything that she does for him to move along the plot in the show. So she's a very beautiful character in all of her complexities.
So how has playing her changed you?
Very good question. For me, I think it really helped me to dig into just not being afraid to be vulnerable in exploring my love for the people in my life. Not that I don't explore that very often or portray that, but I feel like with her, I'm able to really like get into the nitty grittiness of it and to get into the ugliness that is the raw emotions of that, especially delving into the song of On My Own. It's a very emotional piece. And by the end of it, you really explore all like the like resentment, the anger that comes with unrequited love. So it's really allowed me to become more comfortable with that in my real life.
Maya, what does it feel like performing in a Tony Award-winning musical seen by more than 130 million people worldwide? Is there any additional pressure on your performance? Just sit here and go, how do I do this?
Sometimes, you know, I still am pretty much new to this industry. Like I saw Les Mis for the first time, coming on to this job for the first time. And there is a lot of pressure coming with it. And the show's been around for over 40 years, you know? So the legacy that it comes with the show, I'm very honored to do that every day. And just to have someone that looks like me in the role is a thing that I'm just very honored to do. Coming after like the other Black woman that's done the role before me, I'm happy to continue carrying that torch.
You've been traveling and performing on the road. How did your time at Howard prepare you for this journey?
Yes. So as we know, Howard is an HBCU. And at the time when I went there, it was the only HBCU with a BFA in musical theater. The school really helped me prepare me in terms of allowing me to understand like what it's like to bring my person, my identity as a Black woman into this role, and just allowing me to have that confidence stepping into this industry and just being very mindful about just maintaining my identity and not getting lost in it all.
Maya Renee Hunter from Les Miserables joins us Beyond the Mic, and it's time for the Rocking 8. 8 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There is no pressure.
Okay. Ready.
Best memory from homecoming at Howard?
Homecoming? Ooh, the Yard Fest.
Favorite place to go in Houston?
Papa Do's.
So what do you get?
I love the Atlantic Salmon Alexander and the Mardi Gras pasta. Also, the fondue, the crawfish fondue.
Who doesn't like fondue?
Oh, good.
Do you dress up or dress down?
Ooh, dress up.
Best Christmas gift you ever got growing up?
Ooh, a DSI.
If the Les Mis crew were going to throw a themed birthday party for you, what theme would it be?
Beyonce.
Growing up, what was the hardest grade for you?
The hardest grade? Freshman year.
Why?
I transitioned to a new high school and I started choir for the first time.
And that's where your love of musical theater started.
Right, exactly.
Have you ever slept outdoors, Maya?
No.
Are you the kind of person to start or break up a fight?
Ooh, break up.
Maya Renee Hunter from Les Mis joins us Beyond the Mic, and it's time for the back half. Maya, what makes performing in Les Mis so powerful for you?
The effect that it has on our audiences is such a the material is just so grandiose, and it also just transcends generations. So everyone gets something from the show every time.
How has this role changed the way you see musical theater?
I have always had the perspective of just using art to inform, and especially now, like I think that this show, we see like the boys storming the barricade, just get a renewed sense of of just pride in everything that we do and fighting for what we do, for what we want to see in the world. So it's just exciting.
Why has your perceptions of this career changed from when you first started out to now?
Well, I, even though I just recently graduated from Howard, I've only been working consistently since I graduated in May 2023. So it's been a little bit over almost 2 years at this point. And I think if anything, it just helped define rather than change my perspective on the world, on the industry. It's helped me to just narrow it down into just being a force in the industry with representation and just knowing that as artists, we have a responsibility to change perception or to uphold perception that we see in the world. Art is consumption, and everything that we consume is shaped by our personal experiences. So I think that we have a great responsibility on our backs, even more than I initially realized.
How did your audition go? Did you think you nailed it, or did you initially think you bombed it?
Actually, this is probably one of the, at the time, it was maybe by, I could count on a single hand how many times I've auditioned in New York at the time. And I was so excited. I feel like the material was just so fun to sing. I learned on my own for the first time. and it was definitely challenging at times, you know, because you want a certain answer, but you have to continue going back to refine what you've done. Fun fact, I actually started off as an understudy temporarily out in the road and worked my way up to play it full time.
When you got the call back, tell me about that call.
Yeah. So actually I was visiting DC from New York. I had, at the time I was living in New York. I got the call. I was so excited. I mean, my agent was like, yeah, so Maya, they want you to join the tour. And I was pacing around in my living room, just pacing. I walk in circles when I'm nervous. I walk in circles when I have a lot of emotions built up. And I was pacing around the room and I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then I was like, okay, I have to figure out what I have to do. I had my car with me in New York. I had to put all of these things in storage. I was like, okay, game plan. Okay, I'm definitely like a logical game planner person. So I started going through everything that I needed to do. But I mean, just the adrenaline built up. Like, oh my gosh, I did not expect to be here and this quickly after graduating college. I was fully expecting to go to, you know, the day before, actually that morning, I applied to over 20 serving positions in New York City, serving and hosting so I could find a job. And later that day, a couple of hours later, after sending those applications and I got the job.
Who did you call first?
I called my parents first.
So how many times have your parents watched you perform?
They've seen me twice. They're going to come again. And we go to San Antonio and Austin. So they're coming to both of those cities to see me again. Oh, actually, yes, twice. Because they came to Houston when we came in January of last year.
Maya, who on this cast pushes you every day to be a better performer?
I would say definitely my castmate, Christian Mark Gibbs. He plays Andras in the cast. And ever since he's joined, he's only been here for a couple of months, but I will say just being able to have that community with another person that looks like me in the show, knowing that we're so blessed to be in the position that we are today. And it's amazing to be in these roles, looking like the people in our skin and our bodies on that stage is so exhilarating, and it's exciting to do that every night with him. So.
Why was this role a dream for you?
This role, just being able to take the material that's been around for so long and put my interpretation on it. Like you said, it's such a grandiose show. It's been around for over 40 years. And with each person that comes to the role, I feel like they bring something different to it. So for me to be able to bring what I bring to the role is something that I'm blessed, honored to do every night.
Maya, how do you put your own personal spin on this role?
I love to play around with the music has a lot of soft and tender moments in it. Eponine, she's seen as a tomboy. Like, and even on stage, I try to put that into my physicality. But I mean, the moment that Marius gives me the cold shoulder to go over to Cosette, it's like literally shrinking. I shrink. I'm like, that's sad. It's so disappointing that I've done all this work to not be seen, you know, and I've felt like that at some point growing up, you know, in certain environments in school and everything. So I can bring that previous experience into my role right now as Ebony.
If someone has never seen Les Miserables, what do you want them to take away from the show?
I want them to take out just the understanding that there's always an opportunity to redeem yourself. There's always an opportunity for second chances. We as humans oftentimes put this expectation that we have to get things right the first time, that we can't come back from our shortcomings, but we can, you know, we have the power to change the world around us. We have the power to change how we're perceived in society, and to, you can always contribute, you know, no matter what your past looks like, you can always do what you want to do and change the world around you and your life. So.
The road is lonely. On the road, who's that one person you call the most?
My sister.
Why?
My sisters. Well, my younger sister, she's actually finishing up college right now. So I was excited to just see her, help her, like to see this transition that she's about to come into. And that's just the person I'm in closest with growing up, as well as my older sisters as well. My older sister, she's always has the wisdom to impart on me. Also, we love to travel. So whenever I can and I'm not at work, we travel together and we travel the world now that we're all adults now. So it's always exciting.
So how many sisters and brothers do you have?
I have 4 sisters, no brothers.
Wow, I feel so sorry for your dad.
Right.
Where's the place you love visiting on vacation?
Ooh, the last place was actually Los Angeles. The abroad was Amsterdam.
Out on tour with Maya Renee Hunter, and she is in the national tour of Les Miserables Beyond the Mic. When you get to a new tour stop, where's that one place you always try to find?
As of late, I have been looking for like museums, art museums.
Interesting. Why?
I think that it's always beautiful to see what different, like the layout of different museums are, what exhibits they have. They may have. It's always interesting. You know, I've come across museums that are laid off, that are, the layout is very different. They choose to highlight this this piece of art. The last museum I really enjoyed was actually in Detroit, and they had a section for African-American art. But the difference is that I feel like some museums focus on African-American art as a celebration rather than history. Now, don't get me wrong, the history is very important as well, but it's also important to explore the cultural experiences, celebration, the joy that's within those experiences. And I love when beautiful collection is curated.
What do you have to have with you? That one comfort item that keeps you grounded?
A Kindle.
So how many books do you read?
I'm currently reading one book. I want to eventually build up to reading like a fiction and a nonfiction at the same time. But we're getting back into reading, so my Kindle. And I have a Nintendo Switch as well.
What's your best Switch game?
I recently finished Mario Odyssey. Also Pokemon as well.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
Ooh, my favorite Pokemon? It's not in this generation that I'm playing, but probably Mewtwo.
Who's the one person, Maya, that's part of this tour that strengthens you every day?
My friend Ashley Selden. She recently also joined the tour in the last year, and she's like a big sister to me on tour. And sometimes I see her backstage and, you know, we joke around, we may give each other a look sometime, you know, it's just always, she's a very grounding person, grounding energy to be around. And that's been helpful for me.
Okay. So you're in a new town. It's about an hour before the show. Walk me through your warm-up, getting ready and to get your mind set and getting in that place for you to play Eponine on Les Mis.
Yes. So I usually start with the warm-up about that time. So most of the time I shower to have all the steam to kind of relax like the muscles in my body. After warm-up, I usually put on music. Sometimes gospel, since I grew up singing in church. I feel like it's very grounding for me. It's just high. The energy of the music is just very high for me, and it just helps ground me. It also brings me back nostalgia and just a level of comfort. Or sometimes I listen to my favorite artist, Jasmine Sullivan. I just put our music on shuffle. And I just try to take my time to just move about and just kind of get my emotions in check. Because oftentimes, if I don't make sure my emotions are in check, sometimes, like, on, you know, sometimes the theater, anything could happen. And so it's, you want to make sure you're in a space where you can just take whatever's being thrown at you. So I just try to just center myself, my emotions, my energy, and just find that zen, the peace within.
How do you keep your zen when you're about to walk on stage?
Well, just remember to have fun. You know, whatever happens, happens. And you can only control the things that are in your control, and everything that's not, roll with the punches.
Everybody has a dream role on Broadway. What's yours?
Greatest Hit in Hadestown.
Really?
Yes. It was one of the first Broadway musicals I've seen. My first time going to New York was in the summer of 2019 after I graduated high school. And that was the first musical I saw. And it was with the original cast. And I mean, that production is just absolutely beautiful. And the way that they take the adaptation of the Greek tragedy and put it on that stage, and just the raw emotion, the music, everything about it. It's one of my favorites. So I will be seeing it again soon with Hayley Kilgore.
You've acted, been a stage director. What does musical theater mean to you?
Theater is a place where we can come together and just experience a story, no matter what background you have, no matter what perception of the world you might have. Everyone's going to get something different from a story, because there's so much to be taken from these stories that we see on the stage. It's not just one way to take the story in. We all take things in based on how we perceive the world, based on our experiences, and not one person has the same experience. So I think the diversity in experience from theater is just very different from what you can get from other mediums of art.
So what does Les Miserables mean to you?
Les Mis is a story that's uplifting, and it really dissects the human spirit, the survival of the human spirit, rather, and just reminds us that no matter what we go through, tomorrow comes, and we will continue to persevere.
It's time for two big questions with Maya Renee Hunter Beyond the Mic. People hate being perceived. As you grow bigger and bigger in your career, people will believe plenty of things. What's the one thing that keeps you growing and kept from being put into a box of other people's perceptions?
Being strong about your opinions and what you believe to be true. And also respecting others' opinions and what they believe to be true as well. It's funny, I just started a blog, and I wrote about this in my very first blog about the fear of being perceived. See, exactly, we're on the same page. And one thing that I found interesting is I've never been a big social media person, and and it's still not really that big of a social media person. But now that I'm in the show, like, my Instagram handle is in my playbill. So how do I go about having many people come see the platform that I have? And what do I do about that? All that tension being put on me. But also to understand, you know what? It's okay to be perceived, and it's okay to be strong in who you are as an individual and what you believe in.
From your new blog, you say, quote, "I'm an observer, researcher, and writer with this craving to speak my mind," unquote. Which side of your family did you get that attitude from?
Well, I would say my mom. Yeah, my mom.
Maya, what makes her such a positive and strong role model for you?
So, fun fact, I'm a CODA, a child of a deaf adult. My mom is deaf. And so just seeing how this world is not as accessible, it is making strides in accessibility, let's say that. But however, like, just knowing that there's been times in her life that she's had to persevere and had to go about the world in ways that she doesn't get to, being a deaf person, that we have as hearing people can. And so growing up, I was her oldest daughter. So I was that person that played the interpreter in situations where we couldn't get an interpreter sometimes. Now times have changed, and now places are required to provide an interpreter. But there are times when I've had to advocate my mother in those experiences. Like, there are times I had to correct people on their misconceptions of deaf people. You know, you have people who ask, oh, can your mom read? Can your mom drive? Yes, she can. She's a regular person just like you. But that's just misconceptions that comes with lack of education and lack of knowledge. So what we can do is educate people and spread the knowledge of what is factual, essentially.
How does her seeing you on stage give you such joy?
I think it's so beautiful. Like, I think oftentimes I run into the issue of people. They often like to pity, really, because she can't hear me. But also, I try to remind people, like, you know, it's not about that. You know, deaf people, they don't pity themselves for not being able to go hear or experience the world as hearing people do, because they have their own experience of the world. And so I think it's beautiful to see. Whenever we have interpreters in the house, I think it's beautiful to see their interpretations of the piece, because they all interpret it very differently. And it's just the way they interpret it is very visual and just tells a story in that different way. And it's a beautiful thing for me to witness whenever we see it. So
my uncle and aunt are both deaf, so I totally understand.
Okay, lovely.
Why should people buy their tickets to see Les Miserables National Tour now?
If you want a great experience, a great story, a beautiful, beautiful music that really hits you in your heart, you won't regret seeing the show. It's going to tug at your heartstrings. It's going to bring this visceralness of the story to the forefront. You're going to have a great experience in the theater.
Maya, where can people find you online?
I am on Instagram at Maya, M-Y-A, period. R-E-N-A, Renee. Interact with me there. You can message me, follow me. I'm there.
My Renee Hunter has never slipped outdoors. Her freshman year in high school opened her eyes to musicals and wants you to see Les Miserables on tour. Maya, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.